All right, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. As promised, we are getting that update from Novo Resources and Quentin Henny, the president and chairman. Quentin, on Thursday, January 31st, Novo released a news release that discussed this mechanical sorting that is ongoing at Karratha, and it outlined some encouraging results. I got a number of questions and some that were directed at the just clarification of what these type of results mean for the company. Can you please, just first and foremost, try to simplify what these results mean and help the investors understand what this means for the company moving forward?
Yeah, certainly. Look, we're very encouraged by the results. Back in December, we announced the results from the concentrates that were produced. Those were the first to be assayed. Then we got all the assays for the various fractions of material that was not picked by the machine. You know, in other words, we'll call it waste products and stuff, and then the undersized and the oversized fractions. So now we have a total look at the entire system, you know, the sorting recoveries and ability of this machine to potentially concentrate the gold out of these rocks. TOMRA usually uses, or ore sorting is usually used, I should say, for upgrading ore bodies. You know, like if people mine a deposit, the machines will pick out pieces of waste and they might remove, say, 20 or 30% of the mass and upgrade the resulting material. That's typical. Okay. In this case, we're actually picking the rock particles that have the gold, which is interesting. So we're taking a large mass of material, i.e. our conglomerates, crushing them down, putting them through a sorting machine, and the machine is actually picking out the rock particles that have gold in them. All right. This is a bit different approach, but it's not conventional. Like TOMRA has done this on several ore bodies. They said this is the first time they've seen recoveries like this. And it's by and large because of the deposit we have. You know, it's a very nuggety system. The gold occurs as discrete particles, bit of halo around them, but most of the gold occurs as nuggets within the rock. All right, so what does this mean? We crushed four samples. Two of them were a bit oxidized. They were kind of crumbly. Hindsight, you know, those were probably not the best samples to run, but we have limited access, you know, where we're at surface right now. So we have to kind of take what we can get. But the two samples that were indurated, like hard material, and we crushed them down, they sorted very well. We saw recoveries north of 80% in both of those in the product that was actually put through the machine. So I think one was 81%, one was 89%. This is remarkable. Think of it like this. What if you chucked a bunch of pennies in a cement mixer, and then the cement is poured out, and you're like, oh, I want my pennies back, right? So what are you going to do? You've got to crush up that rock and then extract those pennies, but they're randomly scattered through there. Put it through this machine. What's remarkable, this machine will get your pennies back, and it'll identify those particles of rock and recover those specific pieces. Okay, that's absolutely mind-blowing. Where we now need to move with this is we need to optimize things. We need to figure out what's an appropriate crush size so that the machine works more effectively. In other words, probably a bit finer, like we have to crush it down to, say, 50 millimeter particle size so the x-rays can pass through the rocks and the machine can identify them. We also have to figure out what to do with the fines. We have some ideas, for example, a process called agglomeration. You take the fines and mix them with a little bit of cement, make them kind of like cookie dough, make them back into rock particles and put them through the sorter. That's one alternative. The other alternative is simple. You just process the fines through a gravity circuit, recover the gold out that way. All right, so what it means to us is we have a potential means now of processing this material both at a test scale and, you know, ultimately, hopefully at a commercial scale. So we're moving in the right direction.
So, Quentin, just a follow-up. With this rock sorting and its success, or at least it seems like success, does this help you get to a resource report, or is this more for future test mining?
This is for future test mining as well as, you know, longer term. This is one of those things we wanted to test because of this unusual ore body. It worked. It looks like it's working, and we anticipate using it going forward. It will also be a component of our mineralization report that we're putting together right now on the project. I think showing that we have means to treat this material, or potential means, is really building us a case to convert our exploration licenses to mining licenses.
All right, Quentin. So there were a number of questions that came in from our listeners, and we will take at least a couple of them throughout this interview, but there were a lot of them. One question came from asking, what part of the conglomerate, the upper or the lower part, were these four samples taken from?
Yeah, we grabbed the first three samples. The first one was lower conglomerate, kind of right in the, somewhere in the middle of the two or three meters that's mineralized there. I can't tell you exactly, but it was in the kind of the guts of the gold bearing zone. The next two samples were from the upper horizon. They were a place about 400 or 500 meters from the first sample, a little bit more oxidized. Those samples, I think they by and large were in the gold bearing horizon. They might have been a bit out, but I think we pretty much got it. It's very difficult visually to see these sometimes, but I think we got pretty close. The fourth sample was further along yet. It was about 1,200 meters east of the first sample. And that one was, again, in the upper horizon. That one, I don't think we quite, I think we were actually towards the footwall and we got into the material below it. What's remarkable is that even though that sample was lower grade, the machine worked fantastic. It managed to pick the gold, even though it was lower grade. So that's interesting. I mean, think about it. We've got a deposit here, very nuggety, very hard to put your finger on exactly where the top and the bottom is. But with this, this might actually give us means to process something that has a bit of uncertainty around it. And even if it's low grade, it appears to be effective.
So is that the important part here, is that what you're proving is the TOMRA machine is effective in terms of isolating the gold nuggets within the larger deposit? Or is there something more that you can pull out of these very high grades for the concentrates when comparing them to, say, the head grade?
Look, the resulting head grades are the numbers that were calculated in this most recent news release. What is encouraging, though, is that the mass of material that we produce through sorting is very small. In other words, we capture most of the gold in a small fraction. That's great, because that means you can do something directly with that product. You can process it further to extract the gold. You don't have to deal with, millions of tons of material at that point. You're dealing with a very, very small fraction.
Okay, the next couple questions deal with the conglomerates and the potential continuation of these conglomerates. There's a couple questions that I'm going to combine here. One being the fact that Artemis yesterday, released quarterly activity report saying that 3 out of 7 diamond drill holes at Purdy's did not hit the conglomerate. But there is also the question of, why don't you guys go in at Comet Well, start drilling some diamond holes below the conglomerate to confirm any sort of continuation?
Okay, first of all, we have drilled a lot of diamond holes. There were some news releases in the last two quarters of the last year that show some maps where we drilled diamond holes. We are putting that data together right now. Artemis needed this data because in Australia they report quarterly results. This is just a small snippet. These 7 drill holes that we drilled over there were basically infill holes to kind of augment some drilling we did in 2017. We're fleshing out that model right now. So in short, we do have a lot of diamond drill holes at Comet Well. They demonstrate good continuity. We see the conglomerates from hole to hole. I've talked about this before. At Purdy's Reward, we needed to test a few areas where there was kind of a gap in data. And one of them was around a little island-like feature that we see. So there were a few holes, like I think you said 3, that hit this island-like body. But the rest of them hit the conglomerate. The conglomerate simply wraps around the island-like feature. What we're going to do is, once we get our mineralization report put together, and which includes a geologic model of all this diamond drilling, we will put that three-dimensional model in the public's hands too, so they can see the continuity, the conglomerates, and so forth.
Okay, so in summary, we should be getting some news in terms of the continuity of the conglomerates when you do come out with some more studies and tie together some more of these work and the drill holes that have already been drilled, correct?
Correct.
Okay, now how about as well the potential of some of this gold-containing gravels at Egina, let's switch over to Egina now, being carried over to some of the other properties around what project that Novo holds? We've seen a couple of companies like Pacton Gold show some results that there could be some similar alluvial gravel deposits.
Yes, that's a good question. Obviously, you know, anybody that's gone onto Google Earth can see where we're at, where they can see that the terrace is, you know, extensive. It goes on many, many kilometers. Obviously, that means that if this hypothesis that this terrace is gold-bearing is proven true by us, then that means others might have some of this gravel as well, obviously. We decided to target where we are at because there's a lot of historic gold occurrences. In other words, proven gold in the terrace, and we've secured around 950 square kilometers, I believe, around Egina area, of which maybe half is terrace material or terrace terrain. I would say if people want to kind of do a mental evaluation of what's potential out there, go on to Google Earth. If you see hilly terrain, probably not conducive for terrace gravels. If you see, you know, these flat sheet-like areas, you know, that's more likely a target for this.
Okay, now if we take a step back and understand that about a year and a half ago is when this Karratha Gold Project story really got going, got a lot of attention. You guys were jackhammering nuggets out of the ground. How much has the story changed? How much more do you understand now? And what's your enthusiasm compared to when you started jackhammering and pulling these nuggets out?
I remain extremely enthused. I would say our eyes were open late last year when we did the work at Egina. We watched Farno McMahon, for example, digging up gold out of these gravels. That's a good question. It kind of gives you a bit of reflection. I guess if I had to put it simply, I would say we started at Comet Well and Purdy's Reward, and that's a very important area. You know, we're working hard to move that forward. But now we recognize Egina is also an important area. Same position, same conglomerates. But what's really intriguing about Egina is the fact that the gold has appeared to have weathered out of a lot of the conglomerate and been shed down onto these flats. So we have two models here. You know, we got the loose gravels as well as the conglomerates. Now, we will be doing work on the conglomerate fraction at Egina too. Going forward, we have to get permissions from the Aboriginals to explore on the reserve in that area. But we already have indications just from historical reporting that those conglomerates do contain gold. So I remain very excited. I would say we're in early days, hard as it is for some people to hear, we're still in early days in many respects in this story. It's a huge area, a lot of potential. We see the gold in these conglomerates over a vast area. That's 130 kilometers from Egina to Comet Well. So we're in early days, and by no means has our enthusiasm diminished.
Yeah, and one thing I can say is just from talking to you over these last about year and a half to 2 years is it really does seem like you're getting a better and better understanding of the way that these resources have come together, because it is very, very different and the exploration you've had to do has been very different. Can we also get an update on this MOU, the Memorandum of Understanding with Sumitomo Corporation? We got an update back at the very beginning of January, but I wanted to follow up with you if you could add some more color as to how you and Sumitomo are working together.
Certainly. Look, we've been building a relationship with Sumitomo for the past several years. Sumitomo Corporation is really a finance group. They do have a mining division, but they're a big corporation. They finance a lot of different industries. A lot of people confuse them with Sumitomo Metal Mining. That is indeed a mining company. But Sumitomo Corporation actually works in partnership with many different mining companies. For instance, Newmont. They have several interests with Newmont, Sherritt, Teck now, you know, different companies. And they are long-term partners, extremely good people. They're motivated in the same way that the companies are. In other words, they want to see production and so forth. They usually take minority positions. but they also are able to finance projects in a sustainable way going forward. So we see this partnership is very valuable. We look forward to working with them and hope to have some things in place this year.
All right, let's wrap it up here with a comment on the cash position of the company. First, what is the general cash position that Novo is sitting on? And can you give us an idea of how many of these warrants that are at 90 cents? They expire in May, so that can be another boost to the company. But about how many of those are still left outstanding?
Yeah, there's roughly 14 million still. We know whose hands they're in. I've talked to the people on a routine basis. I think we can see an orderly exercise in most of those. That will bring in, I believe, another 12-point-odd million Canadian dollars. Currently, we have about 47. So we're in good position. We have plenty of money to move things forward and very supportive shareholders who hold those warrants.
All right. What do you want to leave all of our listeners and all of the investors with? Kind of a message of what to expect, what's on deck, and what you're hoping to prove out here.
Sure. About 2 weeks ago, we put out a news release that talks about kind of the targets, the short-term targets for all of the projects. You know, this is Comet Well, as well as Egina, even Beaton's Creek. All right. We've got a lot of news coming up. A lot of people think, we're on break or something. We are not. We're working frantically right now, putting together a new model for Beaton's Creek. All right, we've got a bunch of bulk samples that are coming back. We expect maybe in the next week or so to have those results in hand. So basically what I'm saying is we have a good stream of news over the next few months. Beaton's Creek bulk samples, Beaton's Creek resource upgrade. We also are looking at other things we can talk about around Beaton's once we get that resource upgrade out. At Egina, we're developing the work plans right now. We will be starting that season, that work season, in March once the rainy season's over. At Comet Well, we've got our timer results. We're putting together mineralization reports and looking at how we would undertake trial mining. So a lot of things moving all together in a big parallel path, but we are very active. We're going to make these projects work.
All right, there you have it, an update from Quentin Henny and Novo Resources. Just a reminder, Novo is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol NVO and on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF. In full disclosure, I am a shareholder of Novo, and if anybody has any follow-up questions, I know we didn't get to all of the questions, but please keep them coming, fleck@kereport.com. In the meantime, Quentin, have a great rest of your weekend. Everybody, thank you for tuning in to the first hour. I will be back for the second hour, focusing more on the broad U.S. equity markets and what the Federal Reserve had to say this week. Thanks, Quentin.
Thanks, Ward.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.